The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And you may be seated due to the length of the Gospel. That doesn't mean you can sleep. After he appeared to his followers in Jerusalem, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." And they said, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." But he said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and he jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the full net of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord. I would invite the children to join me. Morning.
Good morning.
So glad to see you here today. You're glad to be here too? I'm good. What do I have with me? Can anybody tell me?
Sand.
Well, you know what?
I'm going to draw in the sand. And if you ever see a picture in this sand, would you tell me? I'm just going to sit here and draw. Do you see anything yet?
No. Yeah.
What do you see?
A fish.
A fish.
I think I see a fish right
here. You're right. Well, you know what? In the early church, right after Jesus was crucified and risen, this was a symbol that the Christians used.
A fish.
Because Jesus said, fish for people. Yes. Hi. How are you, sweetie? You doing okay, Aubrey? So they would stand, but it was a dangerous time to be a Christian. So people would stand around, and they might draw in the sand with a cane or something, or their walking stick, something like that. And they would make this sign, and that's how other people knew that they were Christians. Otherwise, you know, you draw in the sand sometimes, don't you? Just make signs and stuff. But when they saw the sign of the fish, they would know that that was a believer in Christ. And you guys are fishers of people too, so the sign of the fish can be your sign as well. So if ever you're playing and you want to pretend with your brothers or sisters, you can make the sign of the fish. Or if you just want to say, I'm a Christian, you can make the sign of the fish. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all you give us. We thank you that we are fishers of people. Bless us every day. And give us courage. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Well, he's done it again. Peter, in his chaotic mind, has misunderstood. Once again, Peter has opened his mouth only to change feet, not merely put in one foot. Maybe he's even on his way to putting both feet there at the same time. Then he will fall. You'll have nothing to stand on. Yet, in this chaos, Peter will know grace. After sinking from fear when Jesus invited him to walk on the water, after not understanding the importance of the transfiguration, so he offered to build booths for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. After denying Jesus three times, just hours after declaring emphatically that he wouldn't, not I, Lord. The world sure remembers that colossal failure that night. Peter's chaotic mind takes over again and again. But that's not all. Just moments after failing to recognize Jesus at the lakeshore and then being fed bread and fresh fish by Jesus, Peter fails to understand Jesus' question. Peter, son of John, do you love me? Peter, do you love me more than these? More than what, Lord? More than boats or nets or fish or food or family or friends? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Tend my lambs. Peter, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Tend my sheep. And again, Jesus asks, Peter, son of John, do you love me? Peter is so frustrated that he responds, "Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. Feed my sheep." Poor, poor Peter. I'd not want to be in his place, constantly bumbling around, misunderstanding, fearing, denying, misinterpreting, disappointing my Lord. No way would I want to be Peter. No way I'd want to follow Peter into his chaos. But I do. I'm just like Peter when I bumble around, trying to be faithful as I mistrust, fear, deny, misinterpret, and disappoint my Lord. I'm a modern day Peter. We all are. We endure the same failures as Peter. We live with the same chaotic minds. In fact, we live in a world where chaos abounds. We're all aware of the chaos, absolutely senseless murders, hate crimes, terror, wars, school shootings, synagogue killings. And those are just the biggies. We confess every week that we lie, cheat, steal, mistreat our spouses or children or friends, fail to fulfill a promise, are lazy, distracted, paralyzed by fear or depression, wasteful of our resources. Our world seems to be imploding into utter chaos. Is this the end of times? Just take a look at the Cathedral of Notre Dame, a beautiful structure dedicated to God, a building that took hundreds of years to complete, turned into chaos in just a few hours. The list could go on and on, but I don't want to depress us so much that we miss the grace. And there is grace. In fact, grace gets in the face of chaos. At last, after the third time, Peter fully understood, finally understood what Jesus was asking. Feed my sheep. Don't just tend them as a shepherd who keeps an eye on them. Actually feed them. Teach them all I've taught you. Tell them the miracles of healing. Tell them of death, yes, but more importantly, tell them of life, of resurrected life, of life full of hope and promise and grace. You, Peter, in all of your chaos, tell them. You, Peter, my rock, tell them. Peter, who indeed bumbled his way through Jesus' teachings, death, and resurrection, was still being called to the sacred task of discipleship. This time, Peter heard what his calling meant. It meant giving his whole life, no matter what. And this time, Peter understood that he would no longer be fishing for fish, but be fishing for people. Peter discovered God's grace in only two words that he had heard at the beginning of his discipleship: follow me. The first time Peter was told this by Jesus to follow, it was a time of great learning. Peter and the others learned about Jesus. They followed. They experienced his miracles, saw him heal and comfort, witnessed Lazarus and Jairus' daughter continuing their lives. They learned his teachings, saw in him the fulfillment of Jewish scriptures. They walked with him to the cross. They saw him die. They knew where he was buried. And in their chaos, the disciples for 3 short days failed to understand again that they would be showered on Sunday, on Resurrection Day, with grace upon grace. They would see, walk with, talk with, eat with Jesus, their risen Lord. They would be the first to understand the words of today, words of grace from our Revelation passage today. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing to the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Amen. This is indeed the feast of victory for our Lord. Hallelujah. This is the feast of victory for our Lord. And there is grace. Grace gets in the face of chaos and wins. Yes, there is also still chaos, but grace gets into its face and wins. Last Sunday, on our way to church, my grandson said to me, "I'm not so sure about God anymore. How could a good God let Papa be killed? How could God give me such a hard life?" And he has indeed had a hard life. "How could a God who was supposed to be good let my donkey get bit on the nose by a rattlesnake and die? How could my God let my dog get so angry at my sister's dog that my dog killed hers? I don't know if I can believe in a God who does such bad things. It's because of Adam and Eve, isn't it? They sinned, and God is mad." All this from a 13-year-old. So we stopped. We were almost exactly at the spot where my husband, his papa, was killed 2.5 years ago. My grandson had just turned 11. I asked him if he remembered what he said to me on the morning before his papa was killed. He said, "Yeah, I remember telling you that I thought there were two special people walking with papa, one on each side. He didn't know who they were, but he knew they were there. He assured me they were there." Then he went on to say, "And the next morning, after Papa's death, when I came to your house, I told you not to be sad. Grandma, don't be sad, because I know that Papa didn't suffer. Those two men, I know now they were God and the angel Gabriel. They lifted Papa up out of the car right before that crash. And they were carrying him to Jesus. An eagle, you know that's Papa's favorite bird. An eagle led them, and Jesus was waiting just to say hi." And there is grace. This gift of grace, given in the spiritual, know-by-heart awareness of God's presence. Grace for my grandson. Grace for me. Grace for us all in the midst of our chaotic world. The empty cross, the resurrection cross stands, guiding us, leading us, showing us the way. That beautiful, glowing gold cross shining in the chaotic remains of Notre Dame Cathedral is God's grace in our world. "Follow me," says Jesus. "You are mine. I have a job for you." And we live grace. Amen.